We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, everybody. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. We've got Grant Bills. We've got Paul Imig, both who you can see their beautiful faces on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. He's my insurance agent. Why the hell isn't he yours yet? A couple of news and notes. Brewers got a win where they had like 7 home runs. Sorry. Come on. Paul, it's like a 2-hour game. Just skip through it.
You're all good.
But that would have been a good one to take the kid at. He likes to see Bernie down the slide.
Yes.
Packers schedule, I think we have it. Kyle Kuzinow just tweeting it. I do take his word on these schedules.
Yes, he's good at this.
I'm on this text chain where, you know, we want to go to a trip. We've gone to all the road games, so it's either an NFC North team or LA. But we've seen the Rams before, but that was in St. Louis.
So what about Tennessee? Did you say that?
We've been to Tennessee, we've been to Jacksonville, we've been to Seattle, and we're not going to Brazil.
Yeah.
So
xenophobes.
We will probably go to Los Angeles, which collectively a lot of us thought, oh, these bigger trips we'll take when we're older and more secure.
Sure.
But now we're all like older and like a flight to California. Jesus Christ. It's like so far away. LA traffic. Oh my God. Ooh,
really?
We should have went there when we were younger. But then I have one buddy. He like sent us a message at 11. He goes, got the schedule, guys. I look. I don't recognize this Twitter account. I type it in. It's some guy who tweeted a text message to himself. The tweet had 197 views. It's like, well, how did you find this? But that's what schedule release day is. I will be breaking down the win-loss with Ryan Horvath at a time very soon.
I don't want to get too much into this because I have 3 questions I'm really excited to talk to you guys about. So let's do like the 1-minute version of schedule release day is dumb. Just wait till 7 o'clock. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Well, it's dumb because we've waited 5 months. And then all of a sudden, like today, and they're, it's just like, it's a bunch of like, we are uncovering this big secret, which is not, it's all theater. It's all like source theater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look what I just discovered. I just discovered this. Ooh, I found it. I got the treasure map. I went and found the, you know, immunity idol. It was under the tree. The Packers and the Rams are playing week 5. It's like, well, how do you just know? I mean, what is happening here? And what are you doing? You're waking up at 11, knowing the schedule is going to come out at 7. So if this is something you want to do, what are you doing? You're digging through flight logs. You're calling sources in the Dolphins. Like, where are you traveling? Like this, it's just so much work for what's the payoff?
Knowing information slightly earlier than we would have known it anyways. That's the payoff. This is why I don't like insider culture. I brought this up on my show. If you are a journalist that uncovers something that wasn't going to be uncovered, Like that's brave. That's powerful and moving. That's important. But these insiders is like, I want to be the one to tweet something out 15 minutes before we're going to learn it anyway. It's like, I don't know. What's the point? Now, if you tweet this stuff out during the midday show, the one that I produce, I mean, I'll take the content. Yes, I will. I'll partake, but it's not necessary.
It's the same concept, though, then is like Woj knows the draft pick 40 seconds before it's on TV.
Oh,
right.
That's the worst. Like, what's that's the worst. That's the worst of all is tipping
the value here.
60 seconds early. Just because you can. That's why they do it. That's the value, Paul. Yeah, to show that they can.
Yeah.
Power, money, sex.
Especially with Woj.
That's all we want in this world. It's power, money, and sex.
How's that for an opening?
PMS, I call it.
I think you just stumbled
into it. PMSing.
Yeah. All I want is PMS.
All right.
All right. I won't ruin any other afternoon baseball games, Paul. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, bud. Starting with Bucks adjacent, Dante DiVincenzo would not have been this good had he just stayed with Milwaukee.
Well, let me ponder on that one first. Great question.
Thank you.
Because
excited to hear your thoughts and excited to share mine. Go ahead.
Well, I like to talk about Draymond Green a lot, that they got the best version of him.
Yeah.
Like the best version of Draymond Green ever in the NBA is him getting drafted to that team and them needing him and him needing them and that whole thing.
Yes.
But then to that point, if that's in him, like if that skill is achievable, then it's always in you. So for Dante, this Dante, it could have been there always. But what culture fosters this version of Dante?
Right.
And maybe I'm gonna go with a real soft my instinct just instinctually is probably not.
That he would not have been this good had he just stayed. Yeah.
I think the journey bouncing around four teams in 2 years is the reward. I think that playing alongside Steph maybe helped a little bit.
Well, that's where I'd like to interject really quickly, because they said on the broadcast of game three or four that Dante had credited his 3-point shooting change, not just his percentage change, but like the process of his shot and the form of his shot, to Steph Curry. He would not have had that experience. He would not have played with some of the guys he's played with, had the experiences he's had. So you can literally trace it back, at least in the one case of his 3-point shooting, to playing with Steph Curry. Now, none of this changes the fact that, yeah, I think the Bucks lost the Dante for Ibaka trade. I'm pretty sure on that one. But would he have been this good had he just stayed in Milwaukee? My answer is emphatically not only because of the journey and the path and the different coaches and players he's played with along the way, but I really think there's something to this Villanova trio.
Yeah.
Josh Hart is like, oh, there you go.
You hear that?
Oh, I hear that. Hang up.
Who is it?
It's my friend Travis.
Shove it, Travis. We're talking Dante.
Is he calling your cell phone? Because you know there's a switch on the side.
He's calling. This is coming through my computer.
Okay, that makes sense then.
And I don't know how to turn that off.
Does he know not to? I mean, he calls you randomly on a
Well, he's the only friend that still calls me. Like that,
I know better. So, all of this to say, the Bucks lost the Dante trade.
He's calling about the schedule. He's calling about travel.
Oh, yeah. So yeah. They lost the trade with Ibaka. He would not have been this good had he stayed in Milwaukee. So my question was for you, Grant. Dante would not have been this good.
Well, I just want to say thing too is he would probably have been traded later on.
Yeah, but like if you right now, or you just say, hey, we will clear out our okay, so let's do the trade. Bobby, Pat, number 23 and number 33 for Dante. You would do that as the Bucks. Mm-hmm or mm-mm. Now, no, this will
no,
never.
No.
No. So you wouldn't. Now you wouldn't. Now that he is this version of Dante, now you're fast forwarding to present day, and he is in fact this good. Is he not like exactly the guy that you, the type of player?
Well, to do a preview of the Bucks roundtable that me, Jim Ozarski, Bart Lundy, and Dario Melendez,
two Barts,
have done taped, and it will air Saturday at 6:30 and 10:30 on WISN 12. Set your DVRs, or better yet, watch it live. Mm. Coach Lundy says, you know, the way that Doc Rivers used Portis could be advantageous to his future in Milwaukee. He liked the way that he was used. He also liked, let me tell you this little tidbit.
Ooh.
On the show, I say, we talked about running it back, and I say, I think you need to run it back, but and you need to drill in like this is your last chance. You need to create urgency with this group of veterans
because
they don't have it. And then in the parking lot later, he said, you know, that was a good thing. That was a good line you said about urgency. And I said, hey, Gottlieb's in your conference. I'm coming for your job, sir. Anyway, we have fun here.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
But would he, would like, if the Dame trade happened, wouldn't the Suns have been like, well, fuck, Grayson, we'll take Dante. We don't want this piece of shit.
Maybe.
I don't know. I just feel like at some point he would have been traded. But then also we thought Bobby and Pat would have been traded five different times by now.
Yeah. Well, so but yeah, and clearly now at this point, though, the trade value of Dante way up here, the trade value of Bobby and Pat way down here. Like Bobby and Pat, I don't think are assets in the trade market. I think they're maybe neutral assets. You could maybe get them for another type of a Bobby or a different guy of a Pat. But like they're not like, oh, like what can you like when people say like, oh, I wonder what they can really turn around and get for Bobby. I'm like, fucking nothing. Like you can get another guy, another body, but you're not getting value, man. Like Dante has, he's really playing well. But he would not have been this good had he just stayed, is my opinion. Grant Bills. Dante would not have been this good had he just stayed in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm.
I think he probably benefited from playing by Steph Curry.
Yes.
And I think right now he's definitely benefiting by playing with his Villanova guys. I think those two things, these two stops have really helped his game.
Both things can be true.
Yeah. Well, and let me throw in a third. Ooh. I also think a third thing can be true. I think the biggest issue between Giannis and the Bucks was just timing. I think a big part of it was timing. He wasn't healthy on their title run. If he would have been healthy and would have been a part of that, who knows? Maybe he's not traded because he's thought of as this, maybe not a pillar, but at least a brick, not a cornerstone, but a brick, a foundational brick of a championship team, some sort of brick.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like if the Bucks don't win the title, is Bobby still here? We think of him as a big piece of why they won that title. So just a point of comparison.
Sure.
I think the biggest issue with Dante and the Bucks was timing. And if he stayed here this whole time, maybe he wouldn't be this good of a three-point shooter. Maybe he wouldn't be the type of attitude and the type of player that he is next to Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart. But I think he could be 80% of what he is now, at least.
Yeah.
And a guy that can get hot from three and play defense and bring some toughness and attitude and play above the rim. Like, we'd kill for that guy. So
Yeah.
I think for the most part, I think he would still be really good. The Bucks and him just didn't work out for timing reasons. We've all had a crush in our past, Bart. You know, you talked about, think about your time at UWL, where it's like, you know, me and her, we're just never on the same page. I always seemed like maybe that might happen, Willy Wony, you know, type of situation. And you look back and you're like, it was just timing. It just didn't work out for us, you know, back then. I think Dante and the Bucks, it's very similar.
I do remember the conversation at the time was Bucks fans were essentially having.
I never had that problem. My timing was always now. Let's do it.
It was basically the choice was like keep Dante or keep Grayson. Do you remember this? Like this was the topic.
No, if I'm being honest, I don't really remember that corollary. I mean,
Dante was injured during the championship run. PJ Tucker doesn't come back. Grayson Allen comes like it. It was for those who are listening and will remember that. Like it wasn't a literal like, hey, you can only have one. But from a front office perspective, it was kind of like, and perhaps incorrectly, but it was certainly framed as like, well, you keep Dante or you keep Grayson long term. And I'll admit, like at the time, I was like, well, no, Grayson is the knockdown, long range, stretch the floor shooter that you need more so than the slashing Dante, which is more what he was known for then. Now he's a lot more of a versatile player.
Do we think that this is the new Dante, or do we think he's having a heck of a series?
Is this a moment or a movement?
Yeah, thank you. And even if it is just
I think it's a movement.
I do too.
And even if it is just a moment, it's a great moment, and I'm not taking away from it. But
tell me that was a mini can, Paul.
It is.
Oh my God! I was like, your hands are not that big. Pick it up again. I was like, you got Andre the Giant, man. It's like, oh my God. All right. A little Dan Shaney YouTube action right there.
Just some video hijinks. That's great.
Video hijinks.
But I do think I think Dante has reached the absolute 100% possibility outcome of his talent because of where he's played, because of the Steph Curry teammate part of it, because he's playing with his Villanova guys. He has reached like the maximum outcome any Dante believer in college could have hoped he would ever achieve when the Bucks drafted him. He has reached it, and there's nowhere else to go. Like this is as good as he could have possibly turned out to be. And he's fun. He's fun to watch. It's fun to watch.
The Knicks are really fun to watch. I will co-sign that.
I'll just say this real quick on the Knicks. They are my I'm realizing this. They're my team. Like they're not. It's not even like I should like the Timberwolves more. I should like the Thunder more. I'm enjoying I like watching their games, but I watch.
Timberwolves really letting me down, man. Those motherfuckers.
I know. But I'm watching the Knicks like it's such a perfect blend of the exact type of team I want to watch, the exact type of basketball I want to watch, playing against the type of team that I just hate. You know, everything about the Pacers. So it's a wonderful time to watch this series. But I do think they'll win. But okay,
well, it'll probably happen. Pacers win at home, and then the Knicks win at home. That seems like what's going to happen. Denver's probably got this wrapped up. Chuck texts me after game two. He's like, "Dude, you might be on it with Minnesota." And I said, "Freems, you got to listen to me. I know ball. I know playoff basketball. When I'm right, I'm right."
Yeah.
And then Denver comes back. And Jokic, who I'll just admit it. I don't like him. I don't like him. I don't like where he places historically. I don't like how we all like this whole bit about the horses. I think it's lame. I think disgruntled guy. I think I don't like the bit. I don't like the act. I don't like the one instance that I had in a post-game locker room with him that has affected me to this day. Mm-hmm. I don't like that he stole an MVP from Giannis. I don't like him. Yes.
Which one?
22.
Well, here with the MVP thing, just 30 seconds, not even. Like Jokic's progression of winning MVPs followed the progression it should. You win one, great. You win another, awesome, great. But now you're in a different class, so we need to see you do it on a higher level before you're considered again. And then he won a title, and he was considered again. And I just don't know why Giannis didn't get the same treatment, because he's been brilliant the last 2 years. And it's not that he's not winning. He's not a serious MVP candidate at all. Yeah. Like he's not even in he's not even in the conversation, right? He's like he's getting fifth place.
He's a coach killer.
So Giannis, he was at swimming again.
Yeah,
I feel like this is a massive deal.
It is.
I just go to my kids swimming and I just see Giannis and he just is a normal dad and he's allowed to be a normal dad. Like, I didn't see anyone go up and take his picture. I'm sure everybody, you know, if Giannis came up to you and says, would you want my picture? Yes. But everyone's just like, you know, it's Giannis. I'm going to text all my, you know, everyone's on their phone texting, Giannis is here. And, you know, maybe take a shitty picture. I showed my son, I go, hey, there's Giannis, because he knows Giannis. And he said, oh, is he still hurt?
Oh.
And I said, I don't know. I think they protected him because Jimmy Haslam knew they were going to lose.
That's what you told your son. Is he familiar with the angle that Jimmy Haslam brought to the
ownership? Yeah, the whole pilot J, he's familiar with all that.
See, Grant, these are the things you'd understand. You will understand one day. You just tell him all about the ownership, like hierarchy and the governorship of your favorite basketball.
I was going to say ownership is leading language that we.
Yeah, well, the other day I was at the park with him again. He's four. And I was telling him that, you know, trickle down economics does not work. And then he presented this whole case study on how it does.
Really?
So he's very, very affluent and very familiar with the ways of the day. I'll tell you what form of economics does work is that. That's me giving you a promo code and then you using it at happyplacehemp.com. The promo code is BART. Now, make sure you use it because Austin, who told us the other day, he said he ordered drunk and forgot to put the code in. So he paid the normal price, which again is lower than it was because of the savings. But I said, hey, if you do that, man, I can get you that discount. Promo code's BART, 25% off. Every order at happyplacehemp.com, seltzers, gummies, balms, tinctures, all of that stuff with the THC or the CBD or the CBN or the whatever you need. If you're going to order it drunk, just put it in your cart, wake up the next day, then look at it. Make sure you've put the promo code in there. You can also check them out in Muskego, happyplacehemp.com.
The following two trios... NBA trios. I want to know which one you would rather have for next season and next season only. This is only for the consideration of the 2024-25 NBA season. Dame, Chris, Brooke, or Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr. Dame, Brooke, and Chris, Jamal, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr. You would rather have the Bucks trio.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I didn't get what you were going for at first, but now I...
Now you're there.
We're talking SCs, supporting casts.
Mm-hmm. Like this.
Is this around Giannis, not around Giannis, just in general?
This is what you get. You get this trio and Jokic and Giannis not part of the equation.
You know what, guys?
Hit it.
Dame's going to come back stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
Dame's the best player of those six.
Absolutely, he is.
I'm taking that.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Grant.
That was going to be my logic as best player. I think Aaron Gordon, although Jesus Christ, he's looked like Kobe the last couple games. Like
it's
some
unbelievable.
Of
them yeah.
shooting out of his rear end. I think Chris, Dame, Brooke, I think I would take that trio. Yeah. Dame has showed for a long time that he's more consistent because. Theoretically, we're navigating a regular season with this trio as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Dame has been more reliable over long sample sizes than Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray's point is like, right, he levels up in the postseason. Dame has shown that he can...
Lakers, specifically.
Mostly against the Lakers.
In the final 10 seconds of halves and quarters.
Jesus. I don't know why, by the way, but that half-court shot that Jamal Murray made was made infinitely cooler with the camera angle of Kevin Harlan. Like, I don't know what it is.
Oh, you do know why. It was awesome.
Because I don't know what it is, but Kevin Harlan being on video. Let me just tell you something. When I was at Radio Row for the Super Bowl, not to bring this up, there were no people. There were no people that I ran into or talked to or engaged with where I was starstruck, except for Bobby Flay, but he's not even in sports, so that doesn't count. The one person, I swear to God, Kevin Harlan walks into Radio Row and it's like Jesus arrived. Like the horde of people, like the personality and the aura of that man. I've never seen it before. So like that call, just to see him in the frame, like to see him at work, that was very cool. And I I want more shots like that where we get, and I know it happened right in front of the table, but yeah, God, that was cool. That was really cool. That's, I'd take the Bucks trio though.
Mm-hmm. That's a jump off the, for me, it was a jump off the couch moment. Like, whoa, like what the fuck, you know, like, cause it, not only the terrible inbounds pass down the court, the steal, the clock running out, the shot, it goes in, he's in front of the announcer's table. That is like very hard to replicate in professional sports. That moment.
And it was, yeah, arguably, you tell me, like, it was arguably like the most important 90-second stretch of the series, because the Wolves were right there and they had just gotten a couple stops, which are so hard to come by. And it's like, all right, we're going to go into halftime and it's going to be right there. And then Denver has this flurry that's punctuated by the shot. It was just, yeah. So Jamal Murray can do that. But I've also seen Chris Middleton do things and make shots very similar to that in big moments. Normally, they're not rewarded with wins, right? Like the shot in Boston or the one against Indiana. But I think I would take the Bucks trio.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you haven't seen Dame, not that he's made a half-court shot in front of Kevin Harlan necessarily. But, I mean, hell, Dame time was born because of shots similar to that. At the
bad
end of the game.
Shots. That's a so bad again, shot.
Like, we should point out, and like, I would think this would be a fun, actually, you know what? Can I have a, I'll give it during the playoffs, a Bartometer suggestion. Remove the each 16 playoff team's best player and who has the best supporting cast trio just underneath the star. So
I mean, it's not hard. We've got to see that in a lot of these series. Like that's
yeah. Oh, that is, that the Cavs again.
The Heat, the Bucks.
The Heat, yeah. The Bucks.
It's a great topic, and I'm not trying to poo-poo it, but as you're saying it, it's like shit, we've been watching this for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
I want to do a Bartometer about like with all these. I might rank the streaming services.
Do you have is your network like connected to any of them that you need to where you need to tread lightly?
I don't think so.
Not Paramount Plus, maybe?
I don't think
so. Is Paramount Plus not related to you anymore?
We have no TV connection.
Oh, it's totally set. Okay.
That I know of.
I mean, it's Max, right? It's Max and Peacock.
You like
The ones I watch the most are Peacock and Disney.
I think Peacock doesn't. Peacock's only
because,
job.
But Grant, that's only because for Bart, because of wrestling.
Now, and then also Marvel.
But you watch them on Peacock?
What, wrestling?
Oh no, I thought you were saying Marvel.
No, I'm watching. I haven't seen X-Men 97 yet. I'm starting with the old cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I watched the Daredevil with Ben Affleck that they just put on there, and that is fucking bad.
Yeah, don't watch that.
Holy shit, was that bad?
We're 2 months away from Deadpool and Wolverine.
Very
another Ryan Reynolds snarky, sarcastic movie. I wonder how this one will be.
Can we not, Grant? Okay.
I'm sure it'll be great.
Can we not with this? With this nonsense?
Just so sick of his shtick. So
yeah, but everyone like. But no one is, though.
How? That's what I'm wondering.
I agree.
He's got a new movie, not Fall Guy. Which one is it? Where he's just the frazzled adult sarcastically reacting to chaos around him. That's every fucking movie he's ever been in. And I get like, look, a lot of actors like Kevin Costner is the same person in everything he's ever been in. I get it. It's just, I don't know. He can do baseball in a Western. I guess Ryan Reynolds doing a superhero movie, whatever. I'm in the minority on this. It's fine. It's fine.
But specifically, though I like Ryan Reynolds' movies, Deadpool is just elite superhero moviedom.
Sure.
I agree.
I'm not into movie franchises or films in general, but my significant other and I are watching the Planet of the Apes movies from the beginning, and those kick ass. God, those are good.
Now, you're saying the originals or like the ones that restarted with James Franco?
No, it's the one that starts with James Franco.
Which is the best, which is the best one of the new, I'm saying that the James Franco one is the best one of the new ones. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
It's rated the best, I believe, on either the first or the second one is rated. I was looking at Rotten Tomatoes. I've only seen the first two.
I want to get into Kong and Godzilla franchise. I got to get into that.
Fuck yeah, you do. And it's the same with the new Jurassic World movies. It's like, oh, are those any good? I don't know. Who cares?
All I know is
dinosaurs going nuts.
All I know is I saw Godzilla give an overhead suplex to King Kong in the middle of the fucking desert. What do you ask? What more do you have to ask for?
dude, in the Godzilla Kong where he comes up on the aircraft carrier from underwater and then Kong is jumping to and from the aircraft carrier's fighting. Oh.
What was the new, which is the Jurassic Park where there's like a bunch of rich people trying to sell dinosaurs like
number,
their
number
the Jurassic daughter World. And Taken? Like, what yep, the yep, fuck yep. is this?
Jurassic World 2. Yeah.
It was like Taken.
And it was good. Because all the because there were dinosaurs, Bart. That's why it was good. Is because
I liked back in the 90s. I liked The Lost World. I liked that they went into San Diego and fucked some shit up.
I did too.
A lot of people shit on that movie.
I don't think the movie was very good, but I loved the concept where they had brought them over into the mainland. You know.
Yeah.
And we had the video game, very grainy. Did you play?
I have the Sega game right upstairs.
You do. When are we doing this?
Friday night?
So grainy, Grant. You would, yeah. I saw the original Jurassic Park in the movie theater at probably too young of an age. I remember my dad calling and being like, so if I brought my young son along.
What 90s movies do you remember in the theater?
Okay, let's hear it.
Sorry, Grant.
Hit it.
I'll fuck myself. You guys
Grant,
go ahead.
Say, Grant, you can just go ahead.
Titanic twice.
I saw Titanic once in the theater.
Blank Check.
Oh, hell yes.
Forget Paris.
Which one is that?
Billy Crystal's a ref.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, in the NBA, he's a ref. We thought it was going to be an NBA movie.
Hmm.
Jurassic Park, I know. American Pie, I saw.
Yeah.
But I was front row, and I had to lie to my parents about what I actually saw. Ferngully, I went for a field trip.
Ferngully, yes. By the way, you know Blink 182 was an American Pie.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. That's all I can think of at the top of
the
my head.
Lion King had a box office of 968 million in the 90s. Man.
Oh yeah, big movie.
Yeah.
Saw that when I was little. Not in theaters though. Do you guys cry at the end of Toy Story? I do. Not loudly, but like it happens. When they're flying.
Toy Story 3 is not allowed in this house.
Why?
Too sad.
It is really sad.
I'm not.
It's not as stirring as the "We're not flying. This is falling with style." And it's just Tim Allen. God, Tim Allen just makes everything that he's in. I hate that our world has tried to leave him behind. It's not possible to leave him behind. He's too relevant, but everyone's trying so hard and it makes me sad.
Yeah.
Anywho. I am pro Tim Allen as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Bar, how about Days of Thunder?
No.
Didn't see it? No? In theater?
No.
How old were you when you saw Jerry Maguire for the first time?
I think it was... I don't think I saw it when it came out.
No? Okay.
Glenn Frey was in Jerry Maguire, right?
Glenn Frey. Remind me who that is.
Eagles?
The guy from the Eagles. The late Glenn Frey.
Yeah. All right, what else you got?
All right.
Riveting.
So yeah. I know we kind of pivoted off of the trio thing, but the only argument for the Nuggets trio. Well, so Bart.
We rearranged all our schedules to have that conversation.
Hey, it was good. I was interested.
What do you think about the Bartometer topic though of best supporting cast trios? Because I'm like
too much to talk about.
You know what? I'll do what I normally do for your fucking Bartometers and just do it myself and send it to you.
Okay. I don't care.
It is a machine, so I don't, you know, I know how it
works. I'll plug it in the machine.
I've seen a lot of takes from Bucks fans. It's like, why can't Giannis' supporting cast play like Jokic's? And at first I was like, yeah, it's bullshit. But then I thought about it a little bit. It's like, man, Pat Connaughton did hit a bunch of threes and Bobby Portis. Like, I was trying to think, if I was a Suns fan and I was cheering for my team in that finals, would I have been pissed that some of these role players came out of nowhere to make... I feel like I would have. So I feel like this idea that the Bucks supporting cast has always been horrible. Like, I don't know. I just see a lot of that from Bucks fans when we watch the Nuggets. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah, I've not done the list yet, and neither has the Bartometer, and those two things are totally connected. But I do think the Bucks, like Brooke, Dame, Chris trio, like having not done it yet, I'm guessing that will be top five. I mean, Boston's going to be one, I think, by a run.
Should they be?
Yes.
Sure. All right.
Without their top star?
Well, that's the thing with Boston. You take out their top star.
It doesn't really change a lot, does it? Do they really change that much without Tatum? I don't think
so. The ball probably moved better.
Probably. All right.
I'm not a Tatum guy at all.
Yeah, I'm not either. Bart, by the way, one thing that I thought is interesting as you hopefully annihilate Indiana and the Pacers on your show again coming up, hopefully after game six, but probably after game seven. I have a Hawks fan buddy who, like, when the Bucks and the Hawks series with the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals, the assumption was, oh, they're going to be back. Like, this is a young Hawks team. They're going to be back, right? And I was like, I wouldn't be so sure, man. Like, it's hard to get back. The Suns, they're up 2-0 in the finals.
Yeah, nobody else thought that.
I think there was reason for optimism with the Hawks 3 years ago. Not that they would, like, just, oh, we'll be back to the Eastern Conference Finals. But, like, and then the Suns, they're up 2-0 in the finals. And, oh, well, you know, that really sucked, but we'll be back. Now they're losing in the first round despite having a better star player than what they did in that series. My point is when Indiana loses, if there's any like sentiment of like, oh, don't worry, the Pacers are young, they're going to come right back and be right back to this point next year and then they'll be better. Bullshit. It's really hard to just, oh, we'll just be right back to this spot. You probably won't. Like the chances are historically that you won't be back to this spot. Like this is your chance. And if you don't capitalize against the Knicks team that's missing all three of its like... I mean, definitely two of its four, five best players, three of its six best players. You're healthy except for Mathurin, and you're going to – okay. Anyway, I hate the Pacers. I love the Knicks. Last one I had prepared for you. Hot Take Jake had a tweet, a trade idea. It was a three-team trade, and I told – I just quick sent him a tweet, and I just said, hey, I'm going to save this for – Got some feedback from a guy who is going to be listening to this, I think. I don't know him personally, but I appreciated the back and forth that we had. He was not happy about the topic, but I said, just hear me out. Let's try it. Essentially, the trade was, though there are three teams involved, that the Bucks get Jrue Holiday and the Bucks lose Chris Middleton. That was like the root of it. So the pushback from this listener who enjoys your pod, Bart, was like, oh, let's not revisit, like, the should they have traded Chris? Like, that wasn't possible with bird rights. I said, no, I know. But go into the 2024-25 season. Are you better with Dame, Giannis, Jrue, and Brooke? Or are you better with, as it currently stands?
Interesting.
So if there was some three-team hot take Jake trade that made its way into the universe for real, and it ended with the Bucks only giving up Chris, the Bucks only getting Jrue with other players going elsewhere, that the Bucks would be better if they did that.
I want Bart to answer first. I just want to say, Paul, there was really no trade scenario that was going to interest me that you could possibly throw out in this pod. This is fun. This is interesting. I didn't know where this was going, but you have my interest.
Two topics. You didn't know the one that with the trio thing, and then I got you on that after the
trio's good one.
All right, so he wants you to start, Bart.
I don't want to answer. I don't want the words to come out of my mouth.
Uh-oh.
Do you think it's yes? It's fine. We're not trading anybody. It's just a thought experiment.
That's what I said.
So then just think of what's the roster? If they don't have Middleton, who's playing there? Just answer me that.
Ajax.
Okay. So then, and then Jrue would take over the Pat Bev spot.
Yeah. The Malik Beasley spot, you know, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
So Dame, Jrue, Ajax, Giannis, and Brooke.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems better to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a guy who actually defends.
Yeah. You have a great defensive center in Brooke, a great defensive whatever he is in Giannis, unicorn, a great defensive wing.
I wish Jrue would have been like, I don't want to go to Boston. I'm going to hold out. This sucks. Don't do this to Bucks fans. You can't do this.
Badass.
You realize he was in Portland for a few days. He's like, get me. Well, sure.
Well, maybe if guy wasn't talking about how he was going to retire in 18 months and then signs a 4-year contract.
He did do that. That was annoying. And I know it's like, okay, he's being honest. We want our athletes to be honest. Yes, we do. But also,
I also want them to be realistic. Like,
right.
Like, remember when my station went bye-bye?
No, I don't remember that. What happened?
And could you imagine if I was like, put up a huge stink about it? Like, Bart, you're not the first person this has happened to. Meanwhile, the Holidays are like, whoa. We were on, we were on this team and not, and now we're, now we have to play on, is this allowed? Trade? What? It's like, guys, yeah, you got traded. What the fuck?
I mean, it, as someone who has called the post office and the DMV just to try to get a new driver's license sent to my apartment, which is a very simple address, like, it would be a massive pain in the cock to get traded. But also...
oh, like, yeah. Oh, I don't want to get traded.
But also, like, the NBA teams, they have people to help this. Like, they probably have people to call the DMV and the post office. And
this is going to sound like a really...
Yeah, like Pat Bev's got Roan.
This will sound like a very backwards take, and it'll be misinterpreted by some, I'm sure. But you can trade me if you're giving me $30 million a year.
Sure. That's what the, like, money's for.
I know that sounds like... But I'm just telling you, I don't want
to... I don't know, man.
I don't want to go deal with all this.
I don't... Listen.
But you know what will get me to be okay with it? $30 million.
Chris for Drew this offseason. This is a hypothetical. We're not proposing this. This is, well, just for discussion purposes. Which player makes the current Bucks better?
I think if Chris is out of the equation, and I think for this situation, we have to just assume health, right? Like, I don't want to hem-haw about,
sure,
well, there's an 80% chance Drew will be healthy versus whatever. The skill set that Chris has, so comfortable with Giannis, and he's such a good facilitator, mm-hmm, when Dame has to come off the court, for example. Like, he just helps everyone else be better. He does set others up. So if you subtract him, like, that's, there's, it's not just that you're taking him off the floor. You're taking some pretty good impacts that he has. I think you can replace Drew. Like, if you want someone to play better defense, just start Andre Jackson Jr. instead of Malik Beasley. You're not getting trustworthy shooting out of Drew anyways. You know what I mean? It's not like Drew is Klay Thompson. He can give you a little bit of offense, but it's nothing that I trust. It's nothing that's consistent. So I feel like you can get Drew Holiday traits from other players. I don't know who you plug in to do some of the things that Chris Middleton can do. And Chris isn't out there like, now Dame and Giannis both have to be healthy all the time, and they have to be amazing. Like, the chemistry has to be a 10 out of 10. They have to be, which could happen. It totally could next year. In fact, I'd probably bet on it because I think both of them are pretty motivated to get it done, but I would rather have Chris.
Can I? Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not definitive. Like, and Grant, that was the best argument you could have said to make me reconsider, because the value of Chris's offense is a more valuable skill than perimeter defense. Mm-hmm. You know? So that makes sense, but I don't know. They're both so young too, you know. No.
I need to ask you guys how to respond to a tweet before we wrap up.
Okay.
Sure.
This is going to be great.
Well, I just saw this and I'm like, I don't know. Because I've dealt with my, you know, people shit talk me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up that tweet about Gottlieb,
mm-hmm,
which was funny.
The meme. That was a good meme.
And then, the
meme,
you know,
meme, ma'am.
I got a lot of people. I got, there are some passionate Phoenix fans that are upset. Other guys asking me why I do this for clicks. Guys, it's Twitter. I'm shit posting. CL the GOAT.
Oh, you got one from VA the GOAT?
Shut the fuck up, Bart. I'm happy you got fired. You were terrible at your job and have some of the worst takes in all of Wisconsin sports. You are a blubbering drunk moron. There is a reason you will likely die alone.
Mm-hmm.
How do I? That's abhorrent.
I don't think you do respond to that.
I think you should stop reading my texts to you.
Like, we're just, for the Gottlieb tweet. And how do you feel? Like, I've tweeted shit at people like, fuck you, and this is stupid. You write like you're a 5-year-old in crayon, Matt Schneidman. I tweeted him that. But this is how do you, like, how are you a kind of person that tweets this?
Yeah.
And if I quote tweet him, then people will rally for me. You know, I don't want to do that. I just
block.
Would you say this to me if we were face to face?
Oh,
why? This is only the type of thing you
say be a man and call the show tonight.
Yes.
Should I say think before you hit enter? Should I say that? I'm kind of pissed.
I probably wouldn't I probably wouldn't. Don't block him. Here's what you don't do. You don't block him because it pinned at the top of his profile is a list of people he's been blocked by. These people, they use blocks as a badge of honor.
Is that really what it is?
So don't block. Yeah, don't give him a block. Mute him if you want. Just ignore him.
Yeah. You can tell right now he's not taking your advice, Grant.
That's probably not what he wanted to hear. No.
Fire back.
Again, to be clear, it doesn't bother me that someone is saying this to me. It bothers me that someone feels comfortable saying this at all.
Well, you're not going to fix society, so.
No, you're right.
Why is everyone so mad about the Gottlieb thing? Yeah, okay, so he occasionally has an unpopular take. Stole someone's credit card in college. Tony from Texas literally last night brought up that, well, everyone's done something dumb in college, which is what I said. He's like, I mean, Bart Winkler, shit, he threw a brick through a Little Caesars window. And I'm like, he's not a part of this show at any form right now, but I'm glad, sure he'll appreciate that being brought up. I don't know. It's a little unconventional, but it's UW Green Bay. Since when does everyone give a shit about UW Green Bay so much? Listen,
I was listening to a national radio show last night in which that was the leading topic. So,
well, it's interesting. Oh, it's entertaining.
Bart's show. And honestly, you had the correct take, I would say, which is you can't do both. You will not be good at either if you try to do both.
Well, I saw him on Dan Patrick today. He's like, I've had six jobs my whole life. And then he referenced some In Living Color speech with the Jamaicans. And he's like, I'm the butcher, I'm the baker. I'm just like, Doug, you're justifying this because of an In Living Color speech 35 years ago?
Yeah. I think the best part of this story, well, they're not going to be like a top 20 program all of a sudden because of Doug Gottlieb. But you know what? I would be there was a real point in time, a real actual point in time where, like, do you remember Bill Simmons pushing to be Bucks GM? Like back in like 2000 and.
Yeah. I wrote an article on it. He linked to me.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I would, neither of you should be complaining about this because if he does well, all of a sudden, like, your career opportunities.
No, if he does well, Paul, it shows just how little work we have to put into our real jobs.
No, I think it just shows that, like, coaching and recruiting, like, we should probably not treat it like it's that hard. Like, I do, like, Bart, you've said this about NFL coaches. Like, we put these guys on pedestals. Like, how could we ever achieve this level of greatness? Well, fuck, they're, I mean, I have plenty of experience one-on-one talking to these people. Like, they are no brighter than any of us being part of this or listening to this. They just, like, happen to go into that profession, worked their way up organically. They're not special humans, man. Like, so I think Doug Gottlieb will do just as fine as anyone else would have. It's just, I just don't think it's, you know, that hard to be decent at it or to be passable. No? Like, we're giving too much credit to the profession. I think
this is a college coach. They got to recruit. They got to be mentors. They got to do transfer. They got to.
But you're acting like that's hard.
Oh, there's no harder job than a college coach.
I'm not saying it doesn't require work. I'm saying it's not hard, difficult, challenging, that there's like some unachievable.
I don't have time to, I have to go.
All right. I got to go too.
But I want to chew on this more.
I have to go number two, if I'm being honest. I've needed to for a while.
I have to go also.
Winkler Wednesday. Goodbye.
I have to go die alone. All right. Thank you guys. Great to be with you. Thanks for coming into the Winkler verse.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being.
Go to buyoptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at buyoptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.